5 miles south of Bimini Island in the Bahamas, a diver emerged from the intensely blue, translucent water of the Caribbean. Another man carefully lifted sensitive sonar, seismic, and electromagnetic equipment from the diver's hands. Even though it was October, the weather was pleasant. The sky was mostly overcast and showed signs of a coming storm, and the small yacht bobbed gently up and down. The diver hauled his tanned, 6-foot frame out of the water and up the ladder, onto the lower landing of the aft deck. He removed the full-cover face mask and grabbed a towel to dry himself. Water trickled from his dark hair, and he subconsciously wiped it away from his vivid blue eyes, which almost perfectly reflected the color of the water from which he had just emerged. The sun and wind had done an excellent job of giving him a slightly rugged look. His 35 years of life had only delicately lined his face, and a faint 5 o'clock shadow covered his sculptured jaw. He placed the rest of his gear on the landing. It wasn't the standard open-circuit scuba gear, rather a high-tech closed-circuit underwater breathing apparatus, or SeaCuba, sometimes called a rebreather. The system was self-contained and recycled his expended breathing gas, scrubbing it of excess carbon dioxide and other toxic substances while adding small amounts of essential oxygen before returning it to him for use. An electrogalvanic fuel cell powered the microchip-regulated breathing gas mixture. The system was lightweight and allowed for a longer dive time. "Mark, it looks like a storm is coming." His assistant nervously watched a flock of birds flying away. "I think we should head back." The two had spent several days anchored at that spot doing research. There was nothing more to be done there. However, the term going back held little relevance since they lived on the boat. Stewart was an oceanography graduate student with an odd fear of the ocean. In contrast to Mark's physique, Stewart had an almost skinny body that would not tan, no matter how much sun it saw. His sandy brown hair was short and slightly spiked on the top. Mark had both a PhD in oceanographic seismology from UCLA and one in physics from Yale. He was doing research on the electromagnetic anomalies in the Bermuda Triangle. Fascinated by mysteries, he was convinced that there was a logical explanation for at least some of the strange reports. Many highly reputable people had been eyewitnesses, and he was determined to record some definitive scientific data for analysis. He had been working for a year all over the triangle, weather permitting, focusing on those places with the highest incidence of unusual occurrences. Following up on the work of another physicist, Mark had actually been having some success in finding anomalous readings. "Yeah." He looked up and studied the gathering clouds. "You know, we might just have a hurricane. I've seen this type of weather before." He was only joking, but he kept his tone serious. He found it hilarious that his assistant was so afraid of the ocean and, of all places, facing his fears in the Bermuda Triangle. The boat began to pitch a bit, and Stewart noticeably shuddered. Technically, he was an employee, but in truth, Mark thought of him more like a younger brother. There would be nothing but rain, he was certain, and decided not to push his teasing any further. Besides, he had an interview on NASA the next morning, another story to check out, and they still had a long way to go before docking for the night. "I've got something to do," Stewart murmured as he finished stowing the sonar equipment. It was an obvious excuse to get below deck. The deck is no place for a chicken in a storm. Stewart made a beeline for his stateroom downstairs. When Mark was through locking everything down, he climbed up to the aft deck and then to the pilot house. He pushed the button to lift the heavy anchor, started the engine, and headed toward land. The small yacht was his home year-round. After several hours of travel, he docked in the harbor. The trip had been uneventful, with nothing more than gray clouds and a few scattered showers, just as he had expected. It was sundown, but Stewart said he was too seasick to leave the boat. Tired of cooking for himself, Mark went into town alone for dinner.